Ho, 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 Merry Christmas and welcome to the Antisocial Podcast. This is the last episode of 2017. That's right. I'm drawing a line in the sand, putting the brakes on. That is it for the year. This episode should be out on Christmas Day if all goes to plan. And if you're listening to this on Christmas Day, find something else to do. Haven't you got something else better to do? Either way, Merry Christmas. Hope you have a great day. What better guest to have on for the last episode of 2017 than the first guest to ever appear on the Antisocial Podcast, which is Andrew Craig of Rise of Avernus. So we caught up not too long ago at the Southern Cross Hotel in St. Peter's, where we just shot the shit for an hour or so. Really, really cool. We spoke about what's happened in the almost 3 years since Andrew was first on the podcast. And because we've recorded it in, I think it was March 2015. So there's a lot that's happened since then. And Andrew's got a lot of cool stories of post-podcast and a lot of his students finding out what he does as a musician and even people listening to this podcast as well. So I'll leave it to Andrew to explain that. He also has some interesting news for 2018 as well, which I don't know how many people he's told. So I'll leave people to listen to this episode and they can hear what that's all about. If you're close to Andrew, then you'll probably already know what his plans are for next year, but we'll leave it at that. Rise of Avernus have got a brand new album coming out on the 18th of January, 2018, which is called, I'm going to butcher this one, I Didn't Growl. That'll do. And you can go and check that out over at the Rise of Avernus website, which I've only got the Facebook page up in front of me and I'm very lazy. So that's facebook.com/Rise of Avernus, RISEOVAVERNUS. Or you can just go to antisocial.net and I'll have everything over there for you. This is a really cool chat, very tongue-in-cheek, very loose, rough around the edges. We got interrupted a whole bunch of times. Actually, I'm going to interrupt myself. If you want to listen to a podcast where somebody is a master, a pro at handling interruptions, listen to the Pod Kembler podcast that's hosted by Kurt and has previously been on the Antisocial Podcast. He's been doing podcasts at the Commercial Hotel in Port Kembla for the past several episodes, and he gets interrupted all the time by the local drinkers there, and he does not bat an eyelid. If anything, they just invite him into the conversation and just have a chinwag with him. For me, on the other hand, I just edit the shit out of these podcasts, so you don't notice as much. But there are a couple of pauses along the way, which we explain in the episode itself, but this is a lot of fun, just a lot of tongue-in-cheek. Great to catch up with Andrew, one of my best mates, and I really hope you enjoy this. AndySocial.net, as always, all the links and everything we speak about will be over there. And Merry Christmas. Welcome to the Antisocial Podcast. My name is Andy Dowling, and Merry Christmas. This is the last episode of 2017, and I thought I'd record this intro live, and with me this week is
Andrew Craig.
Oh, howdy. How are you going?
Great, thanks, man. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. That's my intro. That's it. I'm going to keep it short and sweet.
Nice.
Let's do it. Yeah. Cool. Easy. We're underway. Do you want to describe our surroundings, Mr. Craig?
Well, as you can hear, there's some lovely music playing in the background. We're at a pub in the middle of, I can't even remember what suburb we're at.
St. Peter's. Yeah. That's right.
At the Southern Cross Hotel. Funny enough, one of the original stomping grounds. I used to hang with Andy back over 10 years ago now.
Yeah, that's it.
Back in the day.
It's been quite a few times. Midweek, we'd be here drinking when we shouldn't be, or a Sunday afternoon.
We're all meant to be at work.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. I think you've slept outside a couple of times as well, or at least on one occasion.
That's old jobs that I didn't care as much about for any future employers who may be listening.
That's right. So we're having a couple of drinks, and we're going to go meet up with some others later on.
Yeah,
so,
get our Christmas drinks on.
That's right. So
tis the season.
Tis the season. So this is the Christmas-themed episode. Last episode of 2017, I thought, what better person to have on than the very first person that was ever on the Antisocial Podcast. So there you go.
And he liked me enough to invite me back again.
I was just trying to find someone to fill in that last slot.
Everyone else is busy with, Christmas. I just said yes to a drink. Why not? That's it.
So, where do we start? What have you been up to? What's going on in the life of Andrew Craig that you're allowed to disclose?
Life in Andrew Craig. Very, very busy as always. A mixture of music, teaching, doing lots and lots more lights than I have been.
You doing a lot of that?
Yeah,
a lot of light stuff.
Been doing lots of lights, like next weekend, for example, doing lights at three shows. Sleep Makes Waves and Rosetta one night, Anathema another night, and We Lost Sea another night. So yeah, busy long weekend of doing lights for amazing bands.
You could just quit your job and just be a lighting guy.
That would be pretty awesome. That's but I would miss the kids.
Yeah, much. True. Okay,
for those that don't understand, the kids means I'm a teacher.
I don't have, I'm not doing an interest. I can't even give context to set the scene. So
I don't
yeah,
have a luckily. Multitude of, you know, spawn that I've got to look after. No, this is my job.
No, that's right. You are a professional in that realm.
Yes.
Yes.
I do love that job quite a lot.
So a busy end of year.
Yeah, very busy. So that's next weekend, rehearsing in 2 weeks' time. The band are playing Rise of Avernus. We're opening for Paradise Lost.
That's pretty good.
Which will be awesome at the Metro Theatre in Sydney, and that will be our first show in support of the new album that comes out in mid-January,
yeah, I saw that.
Worldwide, yeah, on our music, 18th of January that comes out.
All right. What's the name of that?
Eigengrau.
You guys are going to stop, like, putting titles in your albums that are hard to pronounce.
Different language every time.
Especially for a bogan like myself from Queensland.
Sorry, what's next this? Time we'll just call it something like The Rock.
What's this double Dutch? Rubbish, this dribble.
Tinnies.
Yeah, album. Tinnies. Yeah, cool, Tinnies. Yeah, that's right. You've been doing a fair bit this year in general. Like, you've been gallivanting around the place. Seem to, yeah, heads popping up in photos in all corners of the globe.
Yeah, definitely. Almost. It was over in Europe about a month ago.
Yep.
Sort of half holiday and also doing lights for some Aussie bands. Went to a festival called Euroblast in Cologne in Germany.
Yep.
And that one, mixture of lots of bands. Used to be a real gent kind of festival, but it's branched out a bit more now to lots of different genres in the metal realm. And this year there was actually 4 Australian bands.
I know, that was crazy.
Wait, sorry, 5 Australian bands. Yeah, including one of the headliners. There was 12 Foot Ninja, Low from Sydney, Hamina, my old band from Sydney, who have smashed it over there. Sleep Makes Waves, a band I do lights for a lot, and incredible, one of the co-headliners, and of course one of the best Australian bands in my opinion, Voyager. It was great. So I did lights for Voyager, Sleep Makes Waves, and Hamina at that festival, and then again for the same bands except for Hamina at Prog Power the following week.
Oh, so you did Prog Power as well?
Sleep Makes Waves and Voyager, which was the opening night, and it's weird, such a different experience.
Was it weird just because you know a lot of those guys, if known them for a few years, but being like on the other side of the world, and I mean, just doing one show would be kind of a bit Twilight Zone-ish because you're looking around and it's kind of like, are we in Sydney or Melbourne or something like that? We're on the other side of the world, but to do 2 shows with a week apart, it's like
one in Germany, one in Netherlands.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, definitely, very very different. It's just it sort of didn't really click until after. I sort of just felt like it was back here for a bit.
Yeah.
Until afterwards and seeing photos and videos of the light show and the 1,000-odd people on the floor getting into it. I'm like, holy shit, this is different to home.
It's like this swarm of Australians that is going to Europe and just dominating.
It's great, yeah. So, I mean, this year alone, how many Aussie bands have been over there? It's huge.
Massive. Great. And, like, not just people doing, like, little club tours and things like that. People doing, like, really good stuff, like massive festivals and big sort of headline tours and...
Definitely, yeah. I mean, over the last year, seeing so many bands from Australia pop up on festivals like your Hellfest and Grass Pops and Varken and all those, like, it's great to see. It's nice. Like, 10 years ago, I remember going, almost 10 years ago now, 08, to Hellfest back in its early days, and remember seeing Alchemist there. That was surreal enough, just seeing one Aussie band there, and that was, like, one of the only ones at the time kind of thing. There were definitely other Aussie bands as well, but I think that festival and the other ones I went, that was the only Aussie band playing that year. And yeah, it was just from that to 2017 where there's like, you know, 20, 30 odd Aussie bands going over regularly now. It's great.
It's insane. I don't know what's changed. I mean, there's probably a whole range of different factors. Just like probably maybe compared to 10 years ago, there's an overall higher volume of better caliber of music.
Yeah, definitely. The quality seems to be a lot higher as well. Yeah. Just a lot more higher caliber, and it's obviously a lot easier for them to get their music across the other side of the world.
Yeah, it's true.
Spotify's
and
YouTube's and everything like that.
I think probably a lot of guys in Europe probably didn't give us a lot of time because we just thought that it was a massive expense, and there was probably a perception that they would have to invest heavily on us, like, to try and get us to Europe and whatnot. And I think now, like, I think probably a lot of bands have proven to Europe and North America that we're willing to put in the hard yards and actually prove ourselves and get over there.
Because it's a big difference having a band that's, you know, from, say, one country over, like Netherlands to Germany or vice versa or anything like that in Europe, than it is on the Australian band coming all the way from the other side, or even New Zealand band, because there's a couple of New Zealand bands that have been doing good over there too, like Old Sorrow and a couple of those kind of bands that smash it over there.
Yeah, I remember years ago just, you know, negotiating with a booker for shows and just getting an absolutely crazy fee to get jump onto a tour, and their response or their perspective of it was, you know, we can get you guys on and we'll charge you, or we'll get a local German band on and, you know, we won't have to worry as much, and if they fall, you know, if that falls through, then we've got 50 million other German bands that play similar music to you guys, so whatever, like what's the incentive for us?
Exactly.
We'll jack the fee up. It's like, oh, okay, righty.
Yep, so. There we go. And then on top of flights and everything, visas possibly depending on the country.
That's insane. But I'm sure there's a lot of that still around, and it's still hard for bands to get over there, but
still a big investment, but
massive investment.
It's definitely worth it for that genre.
There's probably a lot of bands that are a bit more business savvy now as well, so they're a bit more strategic with their money and being smart and understanding that.
Well, it's a lot easier to do the research before you do those kind of investments now. So there's so many things online, whether it be YouTube videos or tutorials or podcasts, things like that you can actually, if you're willing to put in the time, you can actually find out a lot of the ins and outs of all that kind of stuff before even going into it.
I just remember years ago, like, bands would, like, invest, like, tens of thousands of dollars to jump on a tour, and then they come home and they wouldn't do anything after it, and that's it. And because they'd be in so much debt, but they would never, like, strategically align a number of shows or to be in the public eye still, just to make the most of that momentum that they got and that exposure, and so they just go into obscurity and
then it becomes almost a waste.
Get their day jobs to pay off their loans and that's it, and it's just, it's almost great personal experience for them, but for the band and like the business, it's just a waste of money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's there's so many that have done that, like from, I know there's bands that played Vulcan back in the early days and played festivals with them. Massive bands, and then they got back and they didn't do anything for years because they were so in debt.
Frustrating. It's crazy. So speaking, you mentioned podcasts before. Has your life dramatically changed since being on the Antisocial Podcast episode 2?
The riches alone.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I just find it hard because I don't know if I paid the cleaner for my house in, you know, San Sebastian, or if I paid the maid from, you know, my place in San Francisco. So it gets a bit hard at times. So, you know, there's positives and negatives. But yeah, it's been great.
It's been great.
The red carpet experience.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. Oh, yeah.
Really. But no, on that podcast, it's interesting because since then, that was about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So, more, 2.5, almost 3. March. Well, we recorded it March 2015 and didn't go out until about August, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, so definitely over 2 years ago. In that time, I had my own class at a school that I work at, and it was just interesting. I remember one of the parent-teacher interview nights I did, and they already knew quite a bit about me because when they Google searched me, that podcast actually came up. It was one of the first things that popped up, and they sat through the whole hour of our not exactly sober ramblings.
It was loose talking, yeah.
Yeah, but none seemed bothered by it, so.
That's good.
In fact, I think they really, a lot of, especially the kids, they really dig the whole having the other side where it's all band life and all that kind of stuff. They get into it a lot.
So that's an interesting thing. Some time's passed now, because I know that when we spoke on that podcast, you were talking about, like, the kids knew that you played in the band, but you're keeping it separate. So has that changed a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because back then I was doing a lot of casual work and things like that, and it was easy to keep quiet. But when you've got a class for a full year, they seem to find out everything about you.
Are they a lot more savvy now, kids?
Okay, so I still, anytime a kid asks me what my band name is, I always just say Mr. Craig and the Awesomes. That's my standard response to any kid that asks, because I don't want them
I'm creating a website for Mr. Craig and the Awesomes.
I can't imagine that will be on it when they do research that.
Wow. So they're going to try. They're used to Googling and looking.
I had like a student last year, and they managed to find out my band name because they told me how they found it, and they kept searching. Like they search Andrew Craig. You search Andrew Craig online, it comes up with a wrestler, I think, from America or something, and a photographer. But yeah, never. I'm gonna common name.
I'm gonna put the picture of the wrestler in the show notes for this episode.
Yeah. That pops up. Yeah. And then one was like so good. I actually taught them how to properly search on Google.
Yeah, right.
And I didn't even think that they might use that against me. So she kept searching Andrew Craig rock, Andrew Craig metal, and ended up doing something like Andrew Craig death metal band, and that popped up. And then from then, once one kid knew, the whole school knew.
Got out.
But yeah, it's funny because they still, so even if they get told, they forget it so quick. Mm. So the other day, one of them asked that same student, the name of the band, she told Rise of Avernus. And then they've gone up late and said, oh, Mr. Craig, I looked online, but I can't find the Rise of Avengers website and things like that. I'm like, well, you have to
just look
harder.
Obscure band.
Yeah, very underground.
Keep trying, kid.
And I think Avengers, the new trailer, we'll just put our music behind that or something.
Work. Watch the movie.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out. We're right at the end.
Right at the end, yeah. Those scenes they put at the end.
Yeah. Like, after all the credits have ended, you're the last one in the cinema. Yeah. Just wait until that last moment.
They play, like, two seconds of a track.
Even after the movie's finished and it's dead silent and the lights have gone off,
and
just wait.
And they're cleaning up the cinema, vacuuming. That vacuum sound is our music, yeah.
That's right. Are you still doing the same sort of grade, same year level? At all? Like since?
So last year I had my own class for the year, which was year three, year four.
Okay.
And yeah, amazing year. Like one of the best years I've ever had. Like that was such a good year. This year, because I was covering a maternity leave position, half this year I taught music for a term and taught drama for a term.
Drama?
Yeah, two things completely right up my alley. And music, I got to write my own program. So music was all, because it's only a term, completely percussion based.
Nice.
And lots of performances and stuff like that, which was so much fun, just getting them all into drumming and
that's
stuff.
That's cool.
And then drama, I just got to go wild with it, and it's so many group activities and stuff, and like it's great to see the kids actually coming in excited to do it each week, which is so awesome. Like, loved that moment, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then, but at the moment, I'm just sort of working different, same school, but just different classes all the time, but mainly doing years three to six, so which I gel really well with. I love the kind of years because so you can have good dad jokes and everything, and you know, you still get some laughs, some shakes of the head.
I guess you'd find that balance between like. The kids are probably old enough that they like you can have conversations with them and they'll get a lot of stuff and because now they're becoming more tech savvy as well, they're understanding a lot more.
But
they're not getting old enough where they're in their mid-teens and going through all the troubles that a teenager does and having to cop all of that BS.
It would be very hard being a high school teacher, I think. Obviously, so many cool things about it, and like being able to do one field you love, like just being dedicated music teacher, dedicated English teacher. But I think my calling's always been, the primary level. Because after I finished high school, I worked at a summer camp in America, and that's what got me into just to do it, because that was just like, this is amazing. Love doing this, having fun all the time.
Well, I just even think about like my school years and. Primary school for me has way better memories than high school, because high school things somewhat got serious and you started getting tracked with your grades, and then there's a bit of pressure about what you're going to do when you finish school, and then you're going through all the changes that you do when you're a teenager as well, trying to work out where you fit in the world and hormonal and everything like that. But when you're in primary school, you don't really care.
You don't have to worry as much.
There's a bit of pressure, and you're outside your comfort zone because you're learning and whatnot, but you're still relatively carefree.
Yeah, I mean, the internet's unfortunately changed it quite a bit to when we were there. So, I mean, kids definitely seem a lot more mature, or they know about more things, the certain TV shows and video games and stuff like that. It's so much easier for them to get them, even if their parents don't let them do it. Like, how easy it is to stream an episode of Game of Thrones without like anyone knowing, kind of thing. So that kind of stuff, like when you hear of 10-year-olds watching like movies like Deadpool, watching shows like Game of Thrones and all that, it's just like makes it a bit hard, because it's still primary school level. You just gotta do what you can.
So are you a pretty scary teacher?
Oh, terrifying.
Discipline?
Just anger.
Firm but fair.
I like to act like I can be stern when I need to, but the kids see through it a lot. They've always got smiles on their faces when they look at me. I'm just like, if I try and be stern, they're just like, yep, no chance. It was actually only a couple of weeks ago I had to use my stern voice for the first time in a while.
Oh, yeah?
And all the fives and sixes just went, dead in their tracks because they hadn't heard it before.
It's like, whoa.
They just froze.
He's actually serious.
Yeah. And they come up to me after like, Mr. Gray, we didn't know you had that in you. Well, when I need it, it's good to know because I've got it there if I ever really need to use it. But the school I work at, there's not a lot of those issues that come up at the moment because they're great kids.
Yeah, cool. Do you find that, I mean, I don't know what the other teachers are like, but do you find that there's been changes over the years since you started doing it of the way that people teach kids?
Yeah, I mean, there's always different advancements and stuff like that and different training that comes and, like, you know, my teacher's always willing to change their way or approach things in a different way to see what works, because it's a kind of, it's a continuously evolving career. And I think back to, like, how teachers were when we were kids to how they are now, and even that is a huge difference. And that's only a gap of, what, 20, I want to say 20 years, probably 25 years.
Yeah, it's getting on now.
Yeah, getting on, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, definitely, but I think it's good because there's no definitive way that any one kid can be taught. Every kid's so different. You've really got to differentiate the way you teach between every student. And it's good because you can, it's a lot of trial and error stuff like that, but it's good when you do find something that works for a kid.
Okay.
And, you know that you're doing the right thing.
I guess everyone's got a different learning capability. Like, people, like anyone, adult or kid, everyone looks at things in a different way. And so some people, like, the appeal of learning alone is enough, and then other people want another motivation as to
definitely.
Why.
Yeah, definitely. Like, some prefer, like, excel from working in a group situation, while some prefer individuality.
Yeah.
I mean, I think back to university and how much I prefer doing solo projects over group projects back then, but that's usually because of a lot of people that just put in a group together and like to bicker a lot. So I was usually the one sitting in the corner just saying, tell me when you've decided what we're doing, I'll do it. And I was just sitting there on Facebook until then. Great. Catching up on emails.
Oh, that's right. Oh, man.
Don't get me wrong, I love group work, but with the right people.
Well, that's right. No, you have to. And we're back. Just as Andrew's doing a quick selfie. Is that for Insta stories?
I never do selfies.
I put you on Insta stories before.
Yes, you did.
Oh, did you see it?
Oh, I just looked at it.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay, yeah. All right.
Lovely shit grin smile.
Yeah.
And the Ibis is...
Yeah, that's right.
Staying at an Ibis hotel tonight.
I know.
We've got a lot of lovely gang of Ibis bin chickens hanging outside our
Ibis hotel. I was going to book the Intercontinental, but, you know, Ibis is just as good.
Bin chicken hotel.
Yeah, that bin chicken hotel. That's right.
Bin chicken budget.
Oh, that's the new name of it.
Yeah. That didn't work.
Trademarked.
Well, I think I don't need any more ciders.
How many people do you teach? How many kids?
General class is usually 30 kids.
Okay,
so the younger classes are less, but yeah, years 3 to 6, generally 30 kids in a class.
Yeah, so it hasn't changed much, like, because
no, numbers wise, it's probably only the younger years. Like, I remember back when I was a kid, sometimes like year 1 and 2 was still about 30. Well, now it's usually maxed out at about 24.
Yeah.
In kindergarten, usually about 20-ish. But it depends on the school too.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I was curious because I know that when they're talking about changing the way that people, kids are taught and whatnot, they're trying to look at smaller classes and... But I guess it comes down to how many teachers are around as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, currently looking at moving over to Europe for a bit next year, in the second half, to work in the international school.
Yeah.
And apparently a lot of their classes are quite smaller, and every class has a teacher's aide as well.
Yeah, cool.
So, like, in most classes might only be about 20-odd people at the most,
right.
And you've also got a teacher's aide in there, or teacher's assistant, they call it over there. So really can have, 10 kids to a teacher, which is great. It's just very different. But every country is very different like that as well.
So what, for a dumb question, what exactly is an international school?
So their school's based in countries that generally aren't English-speaking countries, or English isn't their primary language.
Yep.
And they're designed for expats, so people that go around, like, say, for example, had to relocate their family to a different country for work, so their kids can still go to school in a school that speaks English and follows the curriculum of, like, a UK, American, or an Australian school generally. So that way they're still getting what they would back in their countries from, if they come from a country which is generally native English speaking. So a lot of the teachers, you don't have to be able to speak the language of the country either.
Yeah.
As long as you've got English speaking, they generally only go for Canadians, Americans, New Zealanders, and Australians.
Okay.
Because of that, because obviously they've grown up speaking that. So, but for me, when I do it, I want to obviously learn the local language as much as I can anyway. Because, why not?
Yeah, why not? Exactly. You're over there.
Exactly.
Immerse yourself. What's the process to to be able to work at an international school?
So, yeah, I mean, kind of much like this. You can go through agencies, which is what I'm sort of doing. You can apply to the schools direct as well, but apparently agencies have a lot better, because they go through a bit more of a screening process with their clients as well. So once you do that, then it's sort of just the kind of thing where they send you daily updates with all the jobs they have available. And yeah, you just tell them which ones you want to go for. Some places, all you have to do is tell them and they'll do the process of getting you the interview. Some you need to provide a bit more info, but generally it's all online for them to look at anyway. It's like a, I guess, like a glorified Facebook profile. It's got all the stuff relevant to your career and your teaching and everything, your photo, your history, all that kind of stuff, all your references and everything, and even the references. It gets sent to the person you have a reference, and you've got to have references of like your supervisors and parents.
Oh, wow.
And you don't see their responses.
Wow.
It's all very private. So, for I know, it's a horrible teacher. Do not hire in any circumstance.
Opens his mouth too many times in photos. Unsettling the children.
Get at least 20 marshmallows in there. Funny enough, I did win a game of, what's that game called? Chubby Bunny, I think it is.
No, I don't know.
So
what
when
is
I was
it?
In New Zealand many years ago, I was at a, staying in a hostel, and it was a drinking game.
Yeah.
And we were drinking, pub games while we were drinking, I should say. And one of the games was, I'm sure it's called Chubby Bunny, where you got to put as many marshmallows in your mouth, and after you do each one, you say, I'm guessing Chubby Bunny.
Yeah, okay.
And obviously a big mouth. I was managed to fit something like 30 odd in there.
Nice.
Crazy. And, don't know a few times because I worked at the summer camp in America, but back then I was actually missing a tooth.
So you want to fit an extra one in?
Yeah, was that easy to push it away from like your tongue or that? Like you didn't have to open your mouth. Somehow I got even more in back then. So yeah, I need to put that on my resume.
That might be the edge that you need to be able to be accepted into one of these international schools.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You can fit 30 odd marshmallows in his mouth. That's a talent right there. Yeah. This guy's got his master's and went to Harvard. This guy can fit 30 odd marshmallows in his mouth. If I was hiring, I'd go to the marshmallow guy.
Oh, absolutely.
I know I'm going to have fun with him. He's going to be awesome. This other one. Well,
this guy's got something. I just can't quite put my finger on it, but he's got something.
There's
definitely something there. So I'd assume that the process to be accepted into an international school would be very different to what other people do where they go to like a country where they're just teaching English. So, you know, like a lot of people get gigs in parts of Asia where, like in China, and they'll go and teach English for kids.
Yeah, because you've got, when I was originally looking at it, it's, you can go and do a course where you're just teaching English, but it's like anyone can do it. You don't have to have your Bachelor of Teaching kind of thing. So I did start looking into that, but obviously because it is a kind of career where anyone can go do this course, and the course is quite pricey. The pay is pretty much just enough to sort of get you by, but not if, like, being somewhere in Europe, obviously you want to make the most of your weekends.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you've got some of the best beautiful countries in the world to check out. Obviously you want to go look at those. So every weekend I want to try and, you know, do different trips and stuff like that. While if I was only like living on the bare minimum wage kind of thing, it'd be like weekends I just have to sit inside.
It's just in your area and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, it wouldn't be the same. So at least the jobs, and a lot of countries like Netherlands, for example, only hire people if they've got their Bachelor of Teaching.
Yeah.
So it's good because having that behind me makes it a lot easier as well to get something like that. I mean, not to say I wouldn't like to do teaching English as well on the side, because I'd love to do that, because I do a bit of tutoring and drum lessons and all that kind of stuff with kids now. So I wouldn't mind doing that kind of stuff when I get over there. I've just got to obviously scope it, get a feel for the place, and especially a drum lesson part, I'd love to continue that when I'm over there.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, oh, that, like, quickest time of all time. Teaching kids drums, it goes so quick and so fun.
Well, I mean, you're doing something that you love to do anyway, so it's...
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No effort really into it. I mean...
I know you need it, and then, got quite a few from school I teach at currently, because, obviously they all know I'm a drummer and everything, so I get a lot of people asking, so I started doing it, and it works really well, because, you know, teach during the day, come home, have an hour off, and get in the drum lessons. It's great. A lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Bit of extra money on the side as well.
Yeah, definitely. Which is always good, yeah. Bit of pocket money.
That's right.
I always pay my tax, ATO, if you're listening.
That's right. I claim everything. I'm staring off
into
my mouth open, trying to think of that next question.
You need to write these things down.
Prepare? No way.
Yeah.
So, how long are you thinking about staying over there for?
It depends. If I can get the year contract, I'll go for it. Definitely. That's the aim anyway, because most of the contracts starting August are usually for a year at least.
Yep.
But there's a big, they do conferences around the world. Yeah. And there's a big conference down in Melbourne first week of January that I'm going to head down for. And a lot of the schools come to that, and a lot of people get offered jobs from the bat, even off that. So check that out, get a bit more of a scope into it all as well. Especially, it's like a 4-day conference too, so it should be pretty interesting.
Bit of a networking event.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Take some business cards with your face on it, hand them out.
Business card at the moment for the drum lessons.
Oh, yeah.
Is that,
oh, you got one?
Yeah, oh, I haven't actually. It's on the school newsletter. Oh, it's okay. Actually that figurine that got made of me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, on there. So, yeah, with the big mouth open aviators. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, but, yeah, rather than put a photo on it.
Yeah, why not?
Comedic value.
So you got most of your drum teaching business through the school.
Yes, yeah, yep, this time around. I did drum teaching a few years back, and that was just sort of word of mouth. But because I had lots of people asking me on and off, and when you're on contract, you can't sort of do it. It's like a conflict of interest. Yeah. But when you're only casual and on contract, you can. Started doing that about half a year ago now. Because I was just getting asked, like every couple of weeks I'd have a parent come up and go, oh, my kid's interested in doing drum lessons.
Yeah.
Can you do it? And I was like, oh, I'd love to, but... kind of moment, and so once I was off and got asked, I was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I can now, and principal's fine with it. So it's been great because I can do both. And I mean, as I said, it's great. Like doing two of my loves in one day. I get up in the morning, doesn't even feel like I'm going to work.
Difference.
Yeah,
How many drum lessons would you do a week?
Currently, between that and tutoring, usually 4 or 5.
Yeah, cool.
Some weeks are more than others because some do different ones and things like that. So because I've got to keep. I can only do a couple of days a week as well because of all the lighting gigs and that.
Yeah.
Generally, a lot of lighting gigs are Thursdays as well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday or Sunday, so I can't do it any of those days just so I'm free for that, as well as gigs, obviously, playing shows and rehearsing. I leave open for those days, so I only do this kind of stuff on Mondays, Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
That's such a cool thing for kids because you think about kids have got to try and find... I mean, that's why you have sports and things like that, is to try and channel all that energy somewhere else, get them all energized so they're not using that elsewhere. I think we're all getting packed up here. So we've got a bit of activity in the background. So channeling the energy for the kids is much better with drums anyway.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's good. Like you build such a good rapport with them that way too. So between that rapport and rapport with the kids, at the school, it just makes it's great. Like the rapport I have with so many of the kids, I love it. Like, it's so much fun.
Well, I'm looking at the time because I reckon we're close to an hour with one before.
Really?
I reckon? Yeah? I'm just so keen for beers. Fuck.
We could pause, get our next drink.
What do you want to do? I'm going to edit all this stuff, by the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to keep
this. Just our plans, like, live.
All right, so what do you want for Christmas? Given this is a Christmas episode.
Okay, Christmas list. I found this really cool sunnies online the other day.
Yeah.
You might have seen me post them on Instagram. It. Basically, along the sort of top rim of the sunnies is about 8 laser lights. Red lights. Gold sunnies. And then there's these like gold studs on the bottom part of the sunnies. I was like, that's pretty much me down at the T. The latest South Park season DVD would be cool too. Assassin's Creed, the new game, and new Shadow of War game. Yeah, and a couple mil.
A couple of mil?
Just a couple of mil.
Oh, a couple of mil.
Oh, geez, I think you said
a cup of milk.
A cup of milk.
Oh, fair enough. All right.
Just imagine unwrapping.
Yeah.
This spills everywhere. You know what they say, don't cry over spilt Christmas milk.
Yeah. So, welcome back, listeners. This is part 3 of the Andrew Craig podcast.
Part 3,
yeah.
Cool.
Because we had an interruption earlier as well.
Yes.
There's a cameo from Jess.
We just got interrupted then. People were trying to come up to the microphones, ask what was going on, and interview one of their mates who was a forklift driver.
Yeah.
Apparently the only forklift driver in the pub, so wanted to get interviewed.
That might be a 2018 guest. I might... I'll put that on the shelf for the time being. But so this is the third section of the podcast, which is going to be our Christmas special. So
Christmas time, almost. Yep. It's Christmas. December today.
By the time people are listening to this, I don't even know what day this will come out, but it'll be Christmas.
Maybe Christmas Day, make it a present for people.
Well, maybe. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Don't worry about your family. Listen to this.
Yeah. Hey, 1 hour of this instead of opening presents.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Torture your kids by making them listen to this first before they can open their presents. There you go.
That's right. Kids are crying.
So, Andy, if you could have any advent calendar in the world, what would you have? So, you know the calendars that, like, traditionally you lift up each day and it's chocolate. Now I've seen ones, like, you can get ones that have got, like, Lego in them, ones like a different beer for every day.
Mm.
If you could have something that was reasonable, you know, it's not like every day you open it's a new car or some shit like that. What would you have?
I think mine's not going to be a very exciting answer, but I think the beer one's really cool. I'm going to copy Lagersson. Guys do that every year. They do their, like, their...
Oh, I like how they do that.
They do their advent calendar of beers.
They take
beers
and drink a different beer every day.
Yeah, that's cool. Just getting pissed for the entire month of December. It's pretty cool.
Which is no different to the rest of their year.
No, not at all. It just gives them an extra excuse to do it, really.
Yeah, which
I
is
think
cool.
Probably just beer. And I like the challenge of having, you know, 24-odd different beers, 25 different
yeah,
beers.
Yeah, I was going to get that this year. And before I knew it was December.
Yeah, that's it.
So I can get it now and, you know, have to... catch up.
You have to catch up, yeah.
Oh, what
yeah.
a shame.
Yeah, I think beer. I don't think there's anything else really that, off the top of my head anyway. What about yourself? Advent, you mentioned Lego. Would Lego be one for you?
Yeah, I was almost going to get the Star Wars Lego one. I thought that'd be cool opening every day and then like, even if I had it in the classroom and then let a different kid open it each day. But then I realised school finishes on like the 16th, so only a couple would actually get it. But maybe that'd be like, you know, you're good today, you get to open the advent calendar, take home the little Lego bit.
Here's one piece of Lego, one block.
Block is just like...
Be creative with this one block.
Let your imagination run wild.
You could... this is a money-making idea for anyone out there that's a budding entrepreneur. You could do an advent calendar of Lego pieces. It's not actually Lego, though. You'd be your own version of Lego. And for 25 days or 24 or whatever it is, a different block, and it's one block, and then it makes something at the end of it.
Yeah, actually, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I think the ones that are out now, like, it is already something, or it's a couple little bits that do make something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right, if, like, by the end of it...
And it doesn't tell you what it is. So when you open up, so if it's in the shape of, you know, like the chocolate ones you'd have when you're a kid, and you open the little doorway up, and it's a big piece of chocolate in there.
Yeah, it's always terrible chocolate.
Yeah, disgusting chocolate. You could open it up, and there'd be the little piece of Lego in there, and then one little tiny piece of paper that gives you that next instruction of what you need to do with that brick. So the first brick is just a picture of the brick. It's just like, put it on the table.
That's
like,
all right.
And then the next one is like, you attach that to that. And this
point,
you just put it on the table.
The first one, yeah. Place piece on table. Leave for 24 hours.
Yeah, someone's like, I can't handle this. This is too much. Too complicated for me.
Can you imagine the poor kids, though, that are just prone to leaving, like losing bits? So, like, they lost day 12. They're just screwed.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Like, every day, there'd be a new little instruction. So, it'd be attaching it in a certain way. And you just don't know until, you know, getting closer to the end of that advent calendar that you discover what you're actually building.
That's actually a really good idea.
It's like a lucky dip.
Patent pending for anyone listening out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Andy's next career move.
That's it. Put my face
on. He hasn't got enough things he's got going on.
Yeah, a few things. Yeah. So, that might be an idea for anyone out there that's wanting to make some quick cash.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Next to Christmas, everyone that's listening to this is trying the same idea. There's like 50 on the market.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Yep, yeah. Original idea right there. Well, I'm going to interview you a bit, because how often do you get interviewed on these things?
How often do I get interviewed?
Yeah.
I never get interviewed.
Okay,
I don't think so, anyway.
Let's turn the tables. Ooh, Christmas geez. Special.
Christmas okay. special, wow. Yeah. All right.
The ultimate ideal Christmas holiday. If you get, like, money wasn't an issue, where would you go? Ultimate Christmas holiday. And why?
I honestly would probably... I reckon just be somewhere where there's no one, no people. And it doesn't matter whether it's cold or warm or whatever, just no one.
Solitude.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I would, like, even, and this is going to be a retarded thing to say, but just, like, I just stay at home.
Even like,
no one can bother me first.
The idea sounds amazing. I'm looking outside right now at Princess Highway where there's non-stop traffic going both ways, and I think, yeah, that actually sounds amazing.
Yeah. I think given that... Actually, I don't know what I was going to say. Yeah, continue. What's the next question?
So it's harder to answer these questions than you think. And this is what you do to all these people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I take it for granted. Everyone should just have the answer.
Just ready to go off the top of the bat. Okay, what's the number one gift for Andrew Dowling for 2017? What's your best thing that you want?
The best gift for me, actually, I'll give two, because one is actually legit the gift that I want, and one I'll just please everybody by giving it.
Should we let them guess which is
that's okay. Honestly, I don't want anything, and I hate Christmas in this sense. I don't want anything because then I feel like I have to give something to that person.
Okay.
And this might be a very selfish way and very, the very selfish way of looking at it, but I'd rather just... I'd rather do a party thing and a gathering and just hang out than exchange gifts, because then I feel like there's all these politics around gift giving, like you give someone something to somebody and then somebody gives you something back, and it shouldn't be about that. Or then you talk about the value and whatnot, and I spent this amount of money and blah blah. I'm doing this with Jess at the moment, and just like, what do you want? I said nothing, and she's like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm like, but hang on, we're married. And don't you want to just make me happy? So if you want to make me happy, the happiest I could possibly be would be to not buy me anything. And she says, well, that's not going to happen. I said, well, you're not going to make me happy then. So it just defeats purpose. I said, you're giving me a gift because of selfish intentions.
And if not that, a helicopter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So look, if people aren't happy with that answer, then I'll just say I wouldn't mind one of those.
I like that gathering idea, though.
Gathering. Just like
it is a good month to catch up with people.
The present of being present. Do you like that one?
That's good.
Yeah, there you go. That's going to be my tagline for the Christmas season.
Anathema shirt. Yeah.
The present
we're
of being present
because we're present.
Yeah. I love that.
There we go. We'll pitch that one to them next weekend when they're touring.
Yeah, and if. If anyone wants me to actually, say a tangible item, then I'd probably like one of those Bluetooth speaker system things. You know, they're like the standalone things that you just hook up through Bluetooth.
Yeah,
they're pretty good these days. Like, they got a good sound.
Well, I got a little one. Just one of the JBL Flips last Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still to this day one of the most used gifts that I've ever got, because I just have it in my bathroom and the sound's great. So, you can be showering and still hear great. But it's so easy to carry, and it's just USB charging as well. So it's just so good. Hooks up to my phone, take it anywhere around the house, and the sound's amazing for something that's only about 20 centimeters wide. And the diameter of the speaker's only, or the subs on it's probably 5-6 centimeters.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like, these tiny little things can just emit, the quality of sound's so good.
It's just, yeah.
It's crazy.
The future is here.
The future is here.
Until tomorrow, then the future will be here then.
And then the future is always here.
Yeah. So when you're listening to this podcast, the future is now here that wasn't here back when here was now.
The future that's right now will no longer be the future, will be the past. And your future will be our future. Double future.
If you had a DeLorean, where would you go? If your DeLorean would take you to one place, time travel DeLorean.
I like this one. And yeah. I don't think anyone's actually done a movie on this. I reckon it'd be a fucking great movie. So I would go back in time, and I would be before Jimi Hendrix. I'd let the Beatles have their thing. That's fine, they can do their thing. But I reckon after the Beatles, I'd get in there and I'd just write every amazing riff that's ever been put out by
metal riffs.
Sabbath, Zeppelin, Metallica, everyone, and I just put out their songs. Sorry, guys. If I get back in time, you're all fucked. None of those guys will exist. I'll say the Beatles
still exist. They just wouldn't be a band.
They'll just be shit.
Them people would probably.
They'll have to think of other songs.
Going and finding their mothers, changing the course of history.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a different movie altogether.
Back to the Future as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It could tie into it. Yes. Yeah. Actually,
it's fading away. Yeah.
Very true. I think that'd be cool. I'll leave the Beatles, but I won't touch them.
Yep.
Because at least then it won't look as well. It won't be suspicious because.
And they already, yeah. Like, you won't be.
I'll just say I'm influenced by the Beatles.
If you tried to do that stuff, it would just get ignored.
Yeah, it'd be hard. I think let the Beatles, carve the way out and have all the controversy and get past all the sort of clean cut sort of look and the you know, very safe sort of music and whatnot.
So you just don't want to have to get a haircut, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. And then after the Beatles are out and they've made their noise, then I'll come into the picture. I'll say I'm influenced by the Beatles, and then I'll start releasing Metallica songs. first track, first album will be like Damage Inc. or something like that.
Probably, you know, like go straight for like, you know, Frantic or Saint Anger.
No, I'll be very selective of my Metallica tracks that release.
The sounds were better in the 70s than that album anyway.
And I'll give it a title like, I don't even know what I'd call it.
Yeah, what would you call that band?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I could just do...
I am Dowling.
I am Dowling?
Iron.
Oh, Iron Dowling. Oh, yeah.
Well, I am Dowling would work.
Fuck it, I just call myself Metallica, hey. just steal their entire identity.
Same colours and everything, but like your versions of them, you draw it.
Or just like... something, yeah, maybe a mixture between like Black Sabbath and Metallica or something like that.
Something nice, so, big and riffy.
Yeah, I mean, Black Sabbath have got all the classic riffs, and so Mega Metallica. Dowling.
So I'm just going through all the names here, to be called.
Just mix all those names together into one big mush. Well, I'll just call it Andy Dowling in the...
Tenacious Dowling.
I'll call it Double A. You're going to come back in time with me?
Oh, yeah, good old Double A, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, we won't call the songs... We will change the song titles. So, if you remember, going back a little while
everything
now...
Had to have we came up with A's. Had yep. to be alliterations.
That's right. And countries, maybe? Or locations or something like that? Yeah. Or we had a theme of each album.
Well, almost every continent begun with A, so we're going to do all those.
Yeah. So, we could just do that, but the songs would actually be Metallica and... whatever. So it could be like Trapped Under Ice and it'll be Antarctica. The song would be called Antarctica. But you'd never, it would literally be the Trapped Under Ice song. But you just
renamed.
Yeah, renamed. Yeah. Yeah. And then, I don't know, whatever. Like, yeah, Damage Inc. can be Australia.
So what would North America be?
Which you'd have to put North in brackets, by the way. And then the song title is actually America. Because it starts with A. And then put North in brackets.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Still an A one. And then the song would be... I don't know.
One that represents...
What represents? Oh, no, you have to be careful here. I wasn't actually thinking of a song that would represent North America.
Oh, yes.
It could get...
Fuel, maybe.
Fuel? Yeah, okay.
Because it's not the best place.
Give me, it's all right. Give me fuel, give me fire. Okay, that's enough.
Just start writing it now.
Let's stop here, bro. Okay. Have you got any other questions for the Andy Social, Andrew Craig Christmas Podcast 2017?
Andrew Craig Social?
The Andrew Craig special?
Yeah, well, yeah. Now that I'm the interviewer and interviewing
that's
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You're wrapping this up.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about the time travel. I'd go back and ride a Velociraptor. That would be my ultimate goal.
Oh, gee,
Velociraptor racing.
That's going back a while, though.
Yeah.
But would anyone care?
But that would tie in with your holiday idea of being in a nice, secluded, quiet place.
I think what you need... Yeah, true. I think what you probably have to do is go right back, get the Velociraptor, and I don't know what sort of device... If it's a DeLorean, then you have to try and stuff the Velociraptor into the back of the DeLorean.
Ooh,
then
yeah,
come back to maybe 1970... something mid-70s, actually before Sabbath. So
the band that you'd be doing would have a Velociraptor on stage.
Absolutely
That would turn heads.
Because if you just went back and just rode a Velociraptor, no one would give a shit because there's no one around.
Yeah, it's not exactly cameras or Wi-Fi or
I mean look, if you're all about
back then
air conditioner, that's right,
air conditioner, but yeah, anyway.
There's another song title for Double A, air conditioner. It's actually one.
Ties right. in with Antarctica.
So,
any more questions?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
see, it's hard if you don't have these prepared, Andrew.
I know. Oh, sorry.
What are you doing for Christmas this year?
I've got my parents coming down from Queensland, so we're going to try and make everybody happy. And do you ask me that question only so you could have a swig of cider? You're very smart. Very strategic. I am. You are an expert. What are you going to do your own podcast? Actually, let me finish this question first. My parents are coming down.
Tangents.
My parents are coming down, and we're going to try and balance between Jess's family, my family, and we'll all try and have a happy Christmas and do our things and whatever. But when are you going to do your own podcast? Are you going to do an international school podcast?
Ooh, when I'm overseas, I should sell
one. I reckon you should. The trials and errors of AC in blah 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 country.
AC unit.
Law and order. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, maybe.
No, when I was falling asleep last night, that came on the TV. So okay. It's been in my head all day. It's getting pretty loud in here.
It is. I think.
All right, wrap up. We're off to go have some beverages.
We're going to go to Young Henry's and have a couple of drinks there. Steve Lamb, shout out to Steve Lamb, Lammy boy. He's over there trying to find a table for us. We were meant to be there probably 2 hours ago.
Yeah, we're getting an Uber because it is raining heavily. Have a look.
It's pretty. Oh shit! All right.
I just held up the microphone as if it was a camera.
Yeah. So I think we've done pretty well considering our environment and a little bit of trouble. Yeah. TY's going to hate me because he's got a lot of editing to do. And I did a podcast earlier today with planes flying overhead. So TY's really going to hate me tomorrow when I give him all these files.
Last question then.
Okay.
Your best Christmas experience of your life?
My best Christmas...
Tying in with the theme.
Yep, okay. Best Christmas experience... Actually, I had Christmas in Las Vegas when I was a kid. That was pretty cool. Which you
do a lot of gambling?
Sorry?
Do a lot of gambling?
No, I was about 10.
So just a little bit of gambling.
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah. But you'd think, like, for a kid that's not of legal age to drink and gamble, it'd be a pretty dull place, but it's pretty cool for kids.
That would be cool, yeah.
We stayed at the Luxor, the pyramid one.
And, oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And we went to the Grand Canyon, like, the day after or the day before or something as well. So anyway, that would probably be my favourite
one. Vegas, it wouldn't be snowy there, would it?
We did see snow at the Grand Canyon, but okay. Vegas wasn't there.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
So it wasn't a white Christmas.
No. It was a white Christmas season. And and you, because I'm polite and courteous, thinking of my guest.
Ooh.
Or host.
Christmas. I don't know. Usually I have a pretty similar tradition every year for Christmas with a big dinner on the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, usually by the pool, snacks all day. Quite a few beers. I do, in the last maybe 7 years, it has become a tradition where I make eggnog Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay.
And my eggnog recipe, I've perfected it over the years, and it's something I look forward to every year.
Don't tell me what it is. That's going to go on the show notes. Ooh. Go to andysocial.net,
and
read the show notes,
recipe.
And then you'll see Andrew Craig's special eggnog recipe.
There are three different types of spirits too, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, like I want to leave people hanging. And by the way, before we wrap this up, and I'm going to wrap it up now, I know what your best Christmas memory is. Not Christmas Day, but best Christmas memory.
I was going to bring this up. I totally forgot. Is this in the same era?
Yes. Absolutely. Do you just want to tell?
So, as we mentioned, this is our old stomping ground around St. Peter's because Andy used to live here back 10 years ago now.
Yeah, something like that.
About that. And I used to spend pretty much...
Most weekends
and some weekdays down here. And one Christmas, we decided... It was a Sunday, and I think it was a week before Christmas, so most of us didn't have to work, and the ones that did called in sick. School was already done for the year, if I was even a teacher back then.
I wouldn't have been back then.
And we donned Santa suits and made our way into Newtown on a nice big pub crawl.
Yeah.
It was, there was a lot of stories that came out of that night.
That's a big night. Certain people were dressed as Santa. And we found a bike and we shoved it into a op shop bin just because, and I can see Andrew cringing right now, but we'll just, look, let me say this for everybody listening that might be professionally connected with Andrew Craig or in some way. We actually thought at the time it was a bin, like an actual bin, and the bike was a little bit worse for wear. So we're just trying to... We thought it was a recycling bin. I think that's a good... Yeah. Perfect.
Brackets.
Yeah, recycling bin.
Thank you for answering my questions, Andrew Dowling. It's been great to interview. You've been listening to the Andrew Craig Social Podcast. Also, 18th of January 2018, new Rise of Avernus album, Eigen Grau. You should get it. It's pretty cool.
Eigen Grau. Thank you very much, sir. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And to everyone listening to my Andrew Craig Social Podcast, you have yourselves a Merry, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and a brilliant New Year.
Thanks, folks. That's it. Scram. Get lost. Shop shut. If you want to reach out to Andrew, we'll check out the new Rise of Avernus album. That's out on the 18th of January. You can go to andysocial.net. Click on the links. You guys know the drill. Same as every episode. It's all dumped in there. Nice and easy for your convenience. But that's it. We're done. 2017 is in the bag. It's finished. It's over. This is the last episode. This is the end of the Andy Social Podcast for this year. sort of clarify that. The Antisocial Podcast will be back in the first week of February 2018, which means there'll be no new episodes in January whatsoever. What I will be doing in that period of time is recording new episodes for the Antisocial Podcast, but I'll also be putting a little bit of TLC and a little bit extra focus into the Self-Starter Podcast, which is still brand new. And I thought this is probably a great time of the year to just do as much as I can on that podcast and really position it well for a big 2018 for both podcasts, really. So that's what I'll be doing. Don't stress though. Don't have a tanty. Don't whinge because there's no new episodes. Go over to antisocial.net, go and buy the USB flash drive that's got the cool Antisocial artwork on it that contains the first 100 episodes of this podcast, and go back and listen to all the ones that you've missed. No doubt there'll be a couple that you've missed. So I'm sure you could just work that out and you'll be well and truly occupied for the month of January until the new episodes come out in February. Nice and easy. But 2017 has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much to everybody who's been listening to the podcast right from day dot, but especially for this year. For people that have been listening for quite some time, you'll know that I had two major goals for this year. One was to get around the country to every capital city and do a weekend of podcasting in each city. And the other one was to do a podcast every week for 2017. Now, the first goal, I didn't quite get there. I missed Darwin and Hobart. I had to cancel both of those. I actually had them scheduled in, but had to cancel them, mainly due to Self-Starter and a couple of other things. But it just got to a point where I had to prioritize a couple of things. And I'm glad I did. It actually worked out well. And I'm no doubt we'll get to both Hobart and Darwin sometime in 2018 anyway and play a bit of catch up. But you know what? Regardless, I'm pretty happy with what I've done. I've been able to get to Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne a few times, Brisbane, Canberra, Sydney's up the road. And I've had chats with some of the most amazing people I've ever had conversations with in my life. So I'm really, really thankful for the opportunities that I've had. I'm thankful for everybody who's been on this podcast. Thank you so much. If any of you guys are actually listening to this podcast and still listening to me crap on, thank you very much. And no doubt we'll cross paths again in the future, in the months and years to come. And then the second goal was to put an episode out every week for 2017. Now, I missed a week at the beginning of the year, but then I caught up in June, and then I've actually done an extra episode in December. So really, I beat my goal. I got one better. So there you go. So I actually achieved that goal. So I'm very happy with that. Consistency is key. One thing that I have learnt over the past 12 months, and I'll continue to do that from February onwards next year. It will continue to be a weekly podcast. And, you know, who knows? We might get to bi-weekly. No, probably not. I might be overcommitting myself and burning myself out. But yeah, this year's been absolutely amazing. I'm really happy with what I've been able to get out there for you guys. I've been really happy with the feedback that you've all given me and the great comments and encouragements, the suggestions, some really amazing recommendations from people. A lot of people I would never even have thought of or known about to approach and have on the podcast, but it's been because of you guys giving me ideas, recommending me, introducing me to people. And as a result, I've had some amazing conversations. So thank you so much. Before we wrap it up, you guys know the drill, the usual housekeeping things. As mentioned, Self-Start is my second and brand new podcast. If you're into small business, self-employment and freelancing, go to selfstarter.com.au or you can search for Self-Starter on your preferred podcast player. It's all over there. Really happy with the way that's going, and thank you for all the support you guys are giving that so far. I really need a massive boost to get it kickstarted, and you guys have been doing that, so thank you very much. If you want to shout me a beer, you want to buy some merch, as mentioned, the USB flash drive or a t-shirt, or you shop on Amazon, you want to use my affiliate link, go over to andysocial.net and you'll find all the opportunities to support this podcast over there. Nice and easy. And last but not least, before we wrap it up, the brand new Lord live album recorded at Prog Power USA is out now. You can listen and watch it online by going to lord.net.au. You can purchase it right away. And you can also pre-order the physical CD audio only version of the release that will be out in February, but you can pre-order it right now. And the pre-orders are open until mid-January. And that will contain three additional unreleased Lord songs on there as well, which we have not disclosed as of yet. So stay tuned. If you're on the fence about getting that and you're thinking, I might wait a bit, basically, my recommendation to you is that if you're considering it, I would jump in and grab yourself a copy. It's very cheap. So I would go and get yourself a copy, secure one, because after pre-orders are over, depending on how many pre-orders we get, there may not be too many left over. And this is a limited edition release. It will not be repressed. It will only be available for a limited period of time as well as quantity. So make a decision. That's all I'm going to say. All right, guys, that's it. Enough rambling, enough crapping on from me. That's it. 27 is in the bag. Hope you guys have had a great year. Enjoy your holidays and Christmases and whatever you celebrate around this time of year. Spend it with your friends and family. Get pissed. Don't get pissed. Sit around, read a book, rage, do whatever you want. And we'll be back in 2018. Keep messaging me. Keep contacting me. Keep letting me know what suggestions and ideas you have and any feedback you have. And keep listening to the old episodes. Let's keep it moving, and I can't wait to bring you some fantastic new episodes in 2018. Until then, ta-ta. You're ready, you're ready.